because of the increase in the assisted reproductive techniques,
يعني
intervertebral insemination, repeated fertilization. These techniques increase multiple pregnancy, and this increases the preterm labor. The incidence remains almost the same, as I said, between 7 and 2% of all pregnancies. And the importance of the preterm labor is responsible for more than 80% of perinatal mortality and morbidity. The majority of preterm labor are spontaneous. And when we say spontaneous, it's idiopathic, and we don't know exactly the underlying cause. What's the preterm labor? Preterm labor is the onset of labor before 37 completed weeks, calculated from the last menstrual period. There should be regular uterine contractions associated with cervical changes. And in any true preterm labor, doesn't confer regular uterine contractions, we could see cervical changes before 37 completed weeks. This is true preterm labor. If we have regular uterine contractions without cervical changes, then some threatened preterm labor. They threatened abortion, and did not happen. But if we allow the patient to go, some of them, or the majority of them, they will go into true preterm labor. And حتى نسميه true preterm labor, لازم يكون في two criteria: regular uterine contractions and cervical changes before 37 completed weeks. WHO, they divided preterm deliveries into three categories because the survival rate is different from the different gestational age that this happened. So they call moderate preterm labor between 33 to 36 weeks, very preterm labor less than 32 weeks, and extremely preterm labor less than 28 weeks. And this is related to the survival rate after delivery. And a survival rate below 28 weeks is very, very low. It's more between 28 to 32 weeks, and small between 33 to 36 weeks. These are the three categories of preterm labor in general, or preterm deliveries. It could be ethnogenic, and we can use preterm delivery because of maternal or fetal reasons. For example, the agent marida at 32 weeks, for example, and we حطينا non-stress test على أو CTG على المريضة ولينا fetal distress. We cannot wait. So this is an urgent delivery. Or if there is a maternal cause, for example, severe antepartum hemorrhage, we have to deliver the patient because of the maternal reasons. So these are heterogeneic. We have to deliver them because of maternal or fetal reasons. Or it could be associated with rupture of membrane, preterm rupture of membrane, PROM. If there is rupture membrane, this is most probably is due to infection. The etiology is infection in the majority of cases if the preterm labor or preterm delivery is preceded by preterm rupture of membrane. And the majority are idiopathic. We don't know exactly the underlying cause, are spontaneous idiopathic. We don't know the underlying cause, but we have to search for predisposing factors. So what are the risk factors or the predisposing factors to develop preterm labor? There are different categories for these risk factors. The first category related to the mother. There's maternal characteristics associated with increased risk of maternal or of preterm labor. Maternal age, the best reproductive age is between 25 to 29 years. This is the age with the lowest preterm labor. If the woman get pregnant before 15 years of age, or her first pregnancy after 35 years of age, the increased risk of preterm labor. It's more common in the black woman, twice as common as the white woman. It's more common if the mother or the woman started their pregnancy with low weight. And so she started her weight below the 50 kilogram or below 19 body mass index, is associated with increased risk of preterm delivery or preterm labor. There are certain habits associated with increased risk of preterm labor, like excessive smoking, excessive alcohol intake, excessive sexual intercourse, because some women, they are sensitive to the prostaglandins present in the semen. The semen contains prostaglandins, so certain women are sensitive to this prostaglandin, and they will have preterm delivery or preterm labor. This is the first group. The second group related to the past reproductive history. If they have previous history, this is very important predictive factor. The previous preterm deliveries, increase risk of preterm delivery in this pregnancy. This is one of the most important predictive factor. History of second trimester abortions, which is bad for the second trimester miscarriages, associated with issues of more cervical incompetence. Cervical incompetence, perhaps second trimester miscarriage, but ممكن كمل the pregnancy after 24 weeks, observe preterm delivery in semi. But also it's related to the cervical incompetence. But if the mother or the woman having previous history of recurrent or second trimester miscarriage or previous preterm delivery, they have increased risk of preterm delivery in this pregnancy. If the uterus is congenitally abnormal, there are congenital anomalies of the uterus, say the double uterus, septate uterus, uterus that delphus, all the congenital anomalies of the uterus is associated with increased risk of preterm labor and preterm delivery. And they found by statistics that previous pregnancy bleeding is associated with increased preterm labor in this pregnancy, regardless of the cause. Yeah. The mother had a previous history of, for example, threatened abortion and postpartum hemorrhage. And bleeding in the previous pregnancies associated with this preterm labor in this pregnancy. We don't know why, but it is statistically significant in increased risk of preterm labor in this pregnancy if they had previous bleeding in previous pregnancies. The third group related to this pregnancy, present pregnancy. There are certain factors in this pregnancy increase the risk of preterm labor and preterm delivery. Anything causing over distension of the uterus might induce preterm labor. For example, multiple pregnancies, for example, polyhydramnios, this increase the pressure inside the uterus might stimulate prostaglandin release and induce preterm labor. If the fetus is congenitally abnormal, and mainly and multiple congenital anomalies, CNS abnormalities, and this is probably a protective mechanism of the you know, they will deliver preterm and they will die. So if the baby is, or the fetus is congenitally abnormal, severe congenital anomalies, they increase the risk of preterm labor and preterm delivery. And bleeding in this pregnancy, again, I'm showing you bleeding in previous pregnancies. Bleeding in this pregnancy also is associated with increased risk of preterm labor. So again, antebellum hemorrhage or threatened abortion. Maternal illnesses, mainly febrile illnesses. Any cause of fever in the mother might induce preterm labor because the biogens in the syrup in the fever induce prostaglandin production. The prostaglandin, as you know, can stimulate uterine contraction. For any fever in the mother, regardless of the cause, might induce preterm labor. Other conditions like pregnancy on top of intrauterine contraceptive device. If the woman got pregnant on top of IUCD, intrauterine contraceptive device, if he did not remove the IUCD, he increased risk for preterm labor and preterm delivery. Ideally, if the woman got pregnant on top of IUCD, we have to remove it. If the mother in the first trimester, the threat of the IUCD from the cervix, we have to remove it. The removal of this IUCD will reduce the risk of preterm labor because of infection, maybe. Yeah, we reduce the rate of infection, and this will reduce the rate of preterm delivery. In cases of intrauterine fetal death, in case of PROM, we said this before, and the fourth category is genital tract infection, whether it is a lower genital tract infection or it should be some more subclinical chorioamnionitis. And chorioamnionitis is the infection around the fetus, the membranes. Sometimes it's subclinical. The patient is asymptomatic, regardless of the infection, but she has preterm labor. If we take amniotic fluid and do culture, it is positive more than patients without preterm labor. That is a most subclinical chorioamnionitis. It's an important cause of preterm labor. These are the three categories, or four categories of risk factors. Other risk factors include nowadays multiple pregnancies, as I said, because of increased assisted reproductive techniques, the IUI or in vitro fertilization, the increased risk of multiple pregnancies, and probably nowadays multiple pregnancy is the biggest single risk factor for preterm birth. Yani 15 to 20% of preterm birth are from multiple pregnancies, 60% of twins that develop preterm. And almost all higher grade pregnancies, I mean triplets or quadruplets, almost all of them, they will deliver preterm. other أكناهم اللي risk factors. These are other maternal risk factors that might increase the risk of preterm labor, like periodontal infection. The infection around the gums and the teeth is associated with increased risk of preterm labor. Bleeding second trimester, psychiatric disorders, smoking, diabetes, uncontrolled diabetes, uncontrolled thyroid disease, uncontrolled asthma, hypertension, psychological stress, depression, all these risk factors associated with increased risk of preterm labor. Now the problem, as I said before, you know, to predict preterm labor. The problem is we cannot predict preterm labor. That's why we cannot prevent in the majority of cases. All these factors that you've seen on the slide, they were studied to try to find predictive any predictors for preterm labor. They studied many factors in the blood and the cervical secretions and the amniotic fluid and the serum everywhere. Yeah. They tried to find any predictor for preterm labor. The only three predictors are issues of fetal fibronectin, cervical length by transvaginal ultrasound, and the previous history. These are the only three predictors that we can depend to try to detect some cases of preterm labor. All other factors that they were studied, they are not of value for prediction of preterm labor. So what is fetal fibronectin? Fetal fibronectin is a fetal protein, موجود normally in the cervical, vagina, and the mucus. But we found in between 22 weeks, 37 weeks, the high period of preterm labor, طبعاً. You know, this, the concentration of fetal fibronectin in the cervical, vagina, and mucus is very, very, very low. So if it is positive, this patient is at risk of developing preterm labor. Usually it is negative between this period. From earlier than this, it's normally موجود. But between 22 weeks, 37 weeks, it should be negative. If it's positive, this patient is at risk to develop preterm labor. يعني لو مريضة اجت على 32 weeks and abdominal pain and we don't know exactly is she in preterm labor or not, وعملنا لها fetal fibronectin طلع positive, most probably this patient will progress to preterm labor. عشان هيك we have to admit her to the hospital, نعطيها dexamethasone, وبنعمل لها معاملة preterm labor. This is a good predictive factor. زي ما حكيت it's a fetal protein result from disruption of the cord residual interface results from mainly preterm labor plus could be due to stress, hemorrhage, infection. So if this positive, طبعا زي ما حكيت it help us to manage the patient. For example, we might transfer the patient to another hospital in ICU, we might admit the patient, we might decide to give her dexamethasone. So it's very helpful. Cervical measurement, cervical length measurement by transvaginal ultrasound. I think cervical length, usually the cervix is more than 2.5 centimeter. If it's this or equal 2.5 centimeter, it's a mean short cervix. It is significantly short, significantly associated with a preterm delivery if it's this or equal 1.5 centimeter. Is it normally more than 2.5 centimeter? Less or equal 2.5 centimeter is short. Significantly short if it is this or equal 1.5 centimeter. So if it's short, it's associated with increased risk of preterm labor. The management will talk a bit about it later. Now, if we do cervical measurement by transvaginal ultrasound or measurement of fetal fibronectin, they have the same predictive value. يعني لو عملنا كل واحد لحاله, they have the same predictive value. But if we do both of them, we increase the predictive value. It is, I mean, it's logic. يعني إذا عملنا fetal fibronectin alone, وعملنا cervical length alone, they have the same predictive value to predict preterm labor. If you combine them together, you increase the predictive value. So how can we prevent? زي ما حكينا إنه we cannot prevent all cases, we might prevent some of cases. For example, إذا شفنا المريض عنده previous histories of recurrent, for example, second trimester miscarriage, or previous preterm delivery, easy delivery, وشخصنا شيء بسموه cervical incompetence, بنحط لهم cervical stitch. هاي cervical stitch بنسميها MacDonald stitch, في other stitches like Schrodinger stitch, بنحتاجه بعدين. المهم بنحط cervical stitch على around 14 weeks of pregnancy, and we can prevent the preterm delivery in 80% of cases. And we remove this stitch at around 37 weeks of pregnancy. This cause can be prevented. يعني إذا شخصنا المريض عن cervical incompetence, which is the cause of preterm birth, it's easy to prevent in 80% of cases. We're going to talk about progesterone in prevention, eventually. If you detect infection and you treat infection, you decrease the risk of preterm labor. For example, lower genital tract infection, and you treat this, you will decrease the risk of preterm labor and delivery. Sometimes the carfentanil, sometimes nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory also might be used to prevent preterm labor in certain cases. Now, who are the women that might benefit from progesterone? The first group of women, women with short cervix. يعني إذا المريضة جت على وعرفوهم هنا في الأنتينيتال كلينيك we measured the cervical length at around 18 weeks to 20 weeks and we found the cervix is short and we start them on progesterone. This will prevent preterm delivery. يعني short cervix يعني زي ما انتم شايفين it's less than 15 millimeter بس usually less than 2 centimeter. Centimeter we start them on progesterone. Usually we use vaginal progesterone because it is natural. Natural progesterone is not given orally, and it's going to be destroyed by the phase last effect of the liver. So natural progesterone is given rectally or vaginally. We cannot give natural progesterone orally because it's going to be destroyed by the phase last effect of the liver. عشان هيك كل studies اللي انعملت على vaginal progesterone for preterm labor. طبعا you can give this injectable, pardon, if there's برضو في natural progesterone injectable. ممكن نعطيه طبعاً. طبعاً الأمريكان بعضه injectable، الإنجليز بعضه vaginal progesterone. فمعظم الاستاذيز اللي نعملت على vaginal progesterone. Second group of women, women with a previous history. طبعاً زي ما حكينا it's one of the most important predictor for preterm labor in this pregnancy is previous history. So if they have previous history, we start them على progesterone from 18 weeks of pregnancy to 36 weeks of pregnancy. نعطيهم vaginal progesterone من 18 weeks ل 36 weeks and by this we can prevent preterm labor. كنا نحط هاي الستايد زمان انه التوينز انه progesterone is not effective بس هلا طلعت كل الستاديز والميتا اناليسيز بيحكوا انه if the twins or the triplets is associated with short cervix, progesterone is effective. يعني زمان according to this study انه the progesterone is not effective and after the pregnancies, but this is not true. If the cervix is short, progesterone is effective in multiple pregnancies. So I can twin or triplet. How can we diagnose the preterm labor? So I can give a definition. Regular uterine contraction associated with cervical changes. Infants need a regular uterine contraction if we have at least 4 contractions in 20 minutes. Then 4 contractions in 20 minutes or more, this is regular. Well, it's not necessary to be effective. The fact of being regular uterine contraction or effective uterine contractions will lead to delivery. يعني if we want effective uterine contractions, then the contraction every 1 to 2 minutes. But حتى نسميه regular, we need at least 4 contractions in 20 minutes. إذا شفنا الأحتين المريضة على توكوغرام وشفنا إنه في عندنا 4 contractions in 20 minutes, at least this is regular uterine contractions. We have examined here vaginally, if the cervix is dilated more or equal to 2 centimeters or more 80% phase, this is also cervical changes. So we have to have these two criteria to diagnose it as true preterm labor. What to do? يعني this is also a very common question في الامتحانات في الستيشنز. إنه مريضة 32 weeks presented with abdominal pain, liver-like pain. بدنا ناخذ منها complete history. كل الريسك فاكتورز اللي حكيناهم بالاول انه we have to ask about all the risk factors. نعمل complete physical examination and the first thing to do is to rule out urinary tract infection لانه urinary tract infection might induce uterine contractions or pain from UTI might also simulate labor pain. The first step is to rule out urinary tract infection in this patient. بعد ما ناخذ complete history و complete physical examination. Now our aim and not to deliver this patient. مش هيك حبيناش deliver this patient because of prematurity. يعني مدة 32 weeks we don't want here to deliver. We want to suppress labor. We want to stop labor. عشان هيك من the history والphysical examination we have to search for any contraindication to suppress labor. من the history تبعنا من the examination we have to search for contraindications to suppress labor. If you don't have contraindications we can stop labor by drugs. اللي راح نسميها توكاليتكس كمان شوي. But what are the absolute contraindications to suppress labor? طبعا if we إذا فحصنا المريضة وقلنا the fetus is dead, طبعا there is no point of stopping labor. The fetus is dead, so there is no point. If the fetus is congenitally abnormal, severe congenital anomalies, which is usually incompatible with life, but there's no point of stopping labor. Why to stop labor? The baby is incompatible with life. If there is any evidence of chorioamnionitis infection, but it's absolutely contraindication to stop labor, then there will be a more risk on the fetus or on the mother. We'll have to deliver here if there is any evidence of chorioamnionitis. If there is fetal indication for immediate delivery, then حكيت قبل شوي أنا عم monitor لينا في fetal distress. We cannot suppress labor. We have to deliver this for fetal reasons. Or if there is maternal indication for immediate delivery, مريضة جايب severe preeclampsia for example, or مريضة جايب severe antepartum hemorrhage, we cannot stop labor for maternal reasons. So we have to deliver here. These are absolute contraindications. These sometimes relative contraindications, which is mild things all اللي حكاها before. يعني مريضة عندها intrauterine growth restriction. Severe intrauterine growth restriction is absolute contraindication. Mild intrauterine growth restriction is a relative contraindication. The same thing for antepartum hemorrhage, the same thing for preeclampsia. يعني mild preeclampsia, we might suppress labor. Severe preeclampsia, we cannot suppress labor. We have to deliver the patient. وتقرا في بعض الكتب انه في cervical dilatation more than 4 cm is also a relative contraindication because the success rate of suppressing labor بعد ما يوصل السيرفكس more than 4 cm is very low. عشان هيك بيكون under relative contraindications. الدراجز اللي بنستعملهم to suppress labor بسموهم chocolatic agents. These are the groups طبعا beta sympathomimetics or beta adrenergic agonists. هذول they were used before. They are probably the most commonly used before. Hello, we stopped using them because of the side effects. So we stopped using beta sympathomimetics. Prostaglandin synthetase inhibitors, like endomethacin, for example, this is still, we can use it. Magnesium sulfate is a tocolytic agent, but we don't use it as a tocolytic agent. إذا خدتم محاضرة preeclampsia لسه the main use of magnesium sulfate is to prevent convulsions in patients with preeclampsia with severe features. إذا عندنا preeclampsia with severe features نعطيهم magnesium sulfate to prevent convulsions. This is the main use of magnesium sulfate. Although it is a tocolytic agent, but it's not used as a tocolytic agent. Calcium channel blockers like nifedipine, it's still we use it. But the most recent drug is oxytocin antagonist, some adocetan. This is very safe drug, almost without side effects. But the problem of adocetan or the oxytocin antagonist drugs is expensive. يعني one course of adocetan to suppress labor بكلل حوالي عنا بالأردن 1200 دينار. It is expensive, الناس المعهم مش تأمين. لكن لو حسبناه as a cost effectiveness, it is cost effective. لأنه إذا بأخر الأدميشن to the MICU لأربعة أيام يعني ثلاث أربعة أيام بالخداج بكلفوا أكثر من 2000 دينار فيعني it's cost effective if we can prevent preterm labor. طبعا يعني بطلنا نحكي عن البيتا أدرينرجيك أجونيستس لأنهم بطلنا نستعملهم بس يمكن إذا تروحوا على البشير بتلاقوا ممكن لساتهم بيستعملوهم بجوز ما بعرف بس يعني بطلنا نستعملهم من هدول السايد افكتس فالي ريسكي وفي اسوشيتد ماتيريال ديفيس من البيتا سيمباثومايميتكس بيعملوا بالبيتيشن مايكاردال اسكيميا واريثميا سوبرمونري اديما ديليوشنال انيميا ديكريز مين ارتيريال بريشر جلوكوز اندولرنس هايبوكاليميا باريتيكاليس كل سايد افكتس عشان هيك بطلنا نستعمل ذيس دراجز. المغنيزوم سلفيت زي as I said before the main use is to prevent convulsions in patients with preeclampsia with severe features. لكن it is a tocolytic agent. The problem of magnesium sulfate is the therapeutic blood level and the toxic blood level, they are very close to each other. عشان هيك, if you want to use magnesium sulfate, we have to monitor the patient carefully. We're monitoring the respiratory rate, and we have respiratory suppression, urine output, because it is excreted by the kidneys, deep tendon reflexes, then we have neuromuscular junction, and if possible, طبعاً, blood level. Which is the best if we can measure blood level of magnesium sulfate. هدول أربع شغلات هدول بنسأله في الستيشن تبع البريتيرم ريبر في الامتحانات يعني إنه how would you monitor patients on magnesium sulfate by respiratory rate, urine output, deep tendon reflexes, and blood level. طبعا الانتي دوتس كالسيوم جلوكوني راح تاخذوا عنه بالتفصيل في البريك لامسيا. لكن النيو هلا بطل النيو طبعا اللي هو نيو انديكيشن فور مغنيسيوم سلفيت از نيورو بروتكتيف. يعني probably we have to give patients with PTM paper usually between 28 to 32 weeks we have to give them magnesium sulfate. This is immune protective, decreases the risk of cerebral palsy. They deliver prematurely or preterm. If you give them magnesium sulfate, you decrease the risk of cerebral palsy. So this is a new indication for magnesium sulfate. It's immune protective. The endomethacin, prostaglandin synthase inhibitors. طبعا زي ما نشتروا ده الانتي انفلاماتوري اللي هو جي اي تراكت سيمبتومز. بس في الاستاتريكس بيهمنا تو امبورتنت كومبليكيشنز بريماتور كلوجر اوف داكتس ارتريوسس. This is very important side effects. But the fetus is before 32 weeks they are not sensitive للانتي بروستاجلاندينز. Yeah, we can use endomethacin before 32 weeks safely. Ductus arteriosus becomes sensitive to antiprostaglandins after 32 weeks of pregnancy. So for 32 weeks, safe. After 32 weeks, if we have the facility to measure ductus arteriosus, we can use it. طبعا هذا الجود ultrasounds الموجودة, we can measure ductus arteriosus. Yeah, it's easy measurement. We can use it after 32 weeks. We have to measure ductus arteriosus diameter. If it started to reduce, we can stop it. But in general, ductus arteriosus is sensitive to antiprostaglandins after 32 weeks of pregnancy. The other important side effects is decreased amniotic fluid volume around the fetus. سميه oligohydramnios. راح تعرفوا بالمستقبل بأنه endomethacin يستعمل for treatment of polyhydramnios. يعني استعماله for polyhydramnios. هو المرتب كانت normal لايكون. فاستعماله endomethacin راح يصير العكس. راح يصير oligohydramnios. فعنده الاندوميثاسين كان كروس ذا بلاسنتا تروح للفيتس تديكريز ذا يورين اوتبوت اوف ذا فيتس. هلا المين سورس هو امنتك فلويد از ذا فيتال يورين. فايف يو ريديوس يورين اوتبوت اوف ذا فيتس يو ريديوس امنتك فلويد اراوند ذا فيتس وهذا بنسميه اوليجوهيدرانيوس. فذيس ار ذا مين تو اوستوفيك كومبليكيشنز. طبعا ذا اذر دراج اللي لازم نعطيه لهذول المرضى از جلوكوكورتيكويدز تو انهانس لانج ماتشوريتي. انتوا عارفين انه يعني respiratory distress syndrome is common in pre-preterm fetuses. To prevent respiratory distress syndrome, let's not give glucocorticoids because this will induce the synthesis of H-hexaminophosphatidylcholine, which is the main components of the surfactant. It's not only it promotes the release of surfactant from type 2 pneumocytes, but it's also stimulate the synthesis of the surfactant. Yeah, stimulate the synthesis and the release of the surfactant from pneumocyte type 2. طبعا كل الكتب اللي بتقرأوها انه it's beneficial before 34 weeks. لكن the recommendation الموجودة حاليا انه we can give it up to 36 weeks or we have to give it up to 36 weeks. لانه في certain fetuses between 34 and 36 weeks they benefit from steroids, from corticosteroids. عشان هيك يعني ال guidelines بيقول انه up to 36 weeks, nothing. It's very beneficial لان 34 weeks. بس في some group of fetuses بيستفيدوا بين 34 36 weeks. عشان هيك الجايد لاين هلا ممكن نعطيه لأب تو 36 weeks. المشكله بالجلوكوكورتيكويدز انه the effect lasts for one week. زمان كنا نعطيه repeated courses. يعني تيجي المريضة for example at 30 weeks and a preterm labor نعطيها corticosteroids. She did not deliver. اجت على 32 weeks رد نعطيها كمان مرة كورتيكوستيرويدز. اجت على 34 weeks رد نعطيها كمان مرة كورتيكوستيرويدز. حتى if they found انه repeated courses of steroids it might interfere with the normal development of the brain of the fetus. عشان هيك we stop using multiple courses of steroids. فthey stop it. هلا recently رجعوا بالكلام صار يحكوا we can give only two courses. زمان كنا نحكي only one course of steroids. هلا في نيو جايدلاينز برضو بتقول انه ممكن نستعمل تو كورسز اذا الاول كان ايرلي. يعني اذا مريضة اجت على 30 ويكس واعطيناها ستيرويدز رجعت كمان مره على 34 ويكس ممكن اعطيها انذر كورس اوف ستيرويدز. يعني ماكسيموم هلا تو كورسز اوف ستيرويدز. يعني قبل فتره كنا نحكي انه اونلي وان كورس اوف ستيرويدز. النيو جايدلاينز بتقول انه يو كان جيف انذر كورس. يعني ماكسيموم تو كورسز اوف ستيرويدز. طبعا ممكن نعطي بيتاميثازون، ممكن نعطي ديكساميثازون، they have the same effect. في بعض الكتب القديمة بتقرأ أن البيتاميثازون is better than ديكساميثازون، طبعا هلا it's not true. البيتاميثازون والديكساميثازون they are the same. الموضوع الثاني اللي هو preterm rupture of membrane. We have to know certain definitions. Preterm rupture of membrane, premature rupture of membrane, and prolonged rupture of membrane. لما نحكي preterm rupture of membrane يعني rupture of membrane before 37 completed weeks. هذا preterm. لما نحكي premature rupture of membrane ما إلى علاقة بالweeks. Premature rupture of membrane يعني rupture of membrane before the onset of labor. هذا بسميه premature. Regardless of the gestational age يعني قبل 39 weeks. وأنت premature rupture of membrane. يعني كلمة premature ما إلى علاقة بالgestational age. Prolonged rupture of membrane يعني rupture of membrane more than 24 hours. من الـ delivery and rupture membrane يعني rupture membrane before 24 hours of delivery نسميه prolonged rupture of membrane. زي ما حكينا في الزباب الطلاب انه الاطفال عندنا هون خلاص هذا صار يتبهوا 18 hours prolonged rupture of membrane يعني بيجوا على الولادة اذا rupture membrane more than 18 hours of the delivery وقتوا البيبي على الخداج عشان يعطوا antibiotics. لكن الديفينيشن لحد الان اللي عندنا احنا انه 24 hours. If the duration between the rupture membrane and the delivery is 24 hours or more, this is prolonged rupture of membrane. طبعا why membranes rupture, we don't know exactly what. We don't know exactly why membranes rupture. It could be due to the focal thinning, alteration in support of connective tissue of the membranes, due to increased pressure inside the uterus and these membranes are weak, will rupture, we don't know exactly. في nutritional deficiencies, like decrease vitamin C, copper, zinc, smoking. This is the most of the cases. Yeah, we don't know exactly the underlying cause. But sometimes we have certain predisposing factors, like as I said before, an obsessive intercourse might also induce rupture membrane, weakness related conditions, which is, as I said also in the preterm paper, over-distension of the uterus. Anything causing over-distension of the uterus can decrease pressure inside the uterus, and the membranes are weak, it will rupture, like multiple pregnancy, polyhydramnios. And they found, if the cord is inserted at the margin of the placenta, it increases risk of rupture membrane. يعني normally, the cord will go on at the center of the placenta. If it is inserted at the margin, it's a marginal insertion of the cord, this is increase the risk of rupture membrane. We don't know why. طبعا infection is an important cause and previous history. في recurrence rate 20%. برضو this is a very common station في الامتحانات اللي هي patient 32 weeks or 33 weeks aged a gush of fluids from the vagina. This is the classical presentation of rupture membrane. المرضى بيجوا gush of fluids from the vagina. This is the presentation. طبعا after taking complete history or complete physical examination, we have to do speculum examination under complete aseptic technique. يعني لازم تحكوا هيك. لازم نعمل speculum examination under complete aseptic technique. يعني we have to clean the vulva with antiseptics, ونستعمل sterile speculum, sterile gloves, and we have to introduce the speculum. And the aim of doing speculum examination is first diagnosis. يعني if you see fluid coming from the cervix, this is rupture membrane. If you don't see fluid coming from the cervix, you ask the mother to cuff or to increase her intra-abdominal pressure by Valsalva maneuver. This might, you might see some fluid coming from the cervix. If you see fluid from the cervix, this is a rupture membrane. The other aims of the speculum examination, we have to take high vaginal swab for culture. Then if there is evidence of infection, we have to deliver the patient. We have ناخذ فكره او ايديا على السيرفيكال دايليتيشن لما نحط السبيكلم نشوف السيرفيكس دايليتد اور نوت دايليتد. اند وي هاف تو رول اوت شيء بسموه كورد برولابس. المرضى اللي بصير عندهم رابشر ممبرين ممكن الكورد ينزل ثرو السيرفيكس هذا بنسميه كورد برولابس. This is an emergency. لازم نعمل سيزيرين سكشن اذا كان السيرفيكس not fully dilated. Cord prolapse يعني the cord is below the presenting part and the membranes are ruptured. هذا اسمه cord prolapse. This is an emergency. We have to deliver the fetus. يعني. So these are the aims of the speculum examination. Diagnosis, rule out cord prolapse, have an idea about the dilatation of the cervix, and take a high vaginal swab. زمان كنا نحكي عن شايفينه تحت هذا النيتريزين بوبر والاربورايزيشن وفيرمينج تيست وكل هذا الحكي هلا صار بولد مع وجود النيو growth factors طبعا مش موجودة عندنا في الأردن بس يعني هلا في insulin like growth factor binding protein or the central alpha macroglobulin هدول if you take if you measure them or you test for them in the cervical secretion and if they are positive this is most probably rupture membrane يعني إذا مشوفناش fluid coming from the cervix وعملنا هدول التست if they are positive this is diagnosis of rupture membrane زمان كنا نقول إنه ناخذ sample fluid ونعمل ultrasound for test and it's alkaline بتحول من yellow to blue يعني هذا الحكي صار very old هلا مع وجود the growth factors هدول اللي حكيناهم these are very recent or they are positive this is rupture membrane طبعا إذا عملنا ultrasound راح نلاقي decrease in fluid volume around the fetus
بغير ساين غير
الكشف
فلويد؟
ايش هو؟ بغير ساين غير هاي الكشف فلويد؟ بس هذه كلاسيكال ممكن المريضة تيجي بس فجأة الدسشارج تعمل الالتراساوند تلاقي ديكريز اللايف كورف المريضة مش عارفة بالضبط انه صار لها بجنب الورما بس كلاسيكال برزنتيشن كشف فلويد فروم ذا فجأة هلا زي ما حكينا في بريتين بيبر انه وي هاف تو سيرش فور كونترا اندكيشن تو سبريس بيبر هلا في رابشر مبين البرنسبل از كونسرفيتيف مانجمنت So we have to search for any evidence of infection عشان we don't conserve. يعني the only indication for delivery is infection. If there is infection, we cannot conserve. يعني the rule for rupture membrane, PTM rupture membrane is conservative management. Unless there is evidence of infection. We have to search for any evidence of infection. If there is infection, we have to deliver the fetus, regardless of the gestational age. هذول الإيفيدنسز اللي هي فيفر ماتيرنال فيفر ماتيرنال تاكيكارديا فيتال تاكيكارديا يوتران تندرنس يوتران كونتراكشنز فاول سميلينج فاجينال ديسشارج ليوكوسايتوسيس ذيس ار إيفيدنس اوف المريضة اللي عندها كوريو أمينايتس ذير إز إيفيدنس اوف كوريو أمينايتس إز أبسوليوتلي كونترا إنديكيشن فور كونزرفتيف مانجمنت وي هاف تو ديليفر ذا فيتس لانه زي يعني هلا هذا الحكي انه infection or prematurity which is more important infection ولا prematurity يعني don't have infection احنا هون بنحكي عن risk of infection او risk of prematurity طبعا risk of prematurity is more important than the risk of infection عشان هيك we conserve we our management is conservative unless there is evidence of infection ايش بنعمل for these patients طبعا we have to admit them to the hospital والaim of admission is to detect infection يعني our aim of كل الobservation اللي بنعملها للمريضة is to detect infection if you detect infection you have to deliver the fetus نعم نخدم vital signs of fetal heart monitoring by non-stress test WBC C-reactive protein twice weekly we have to give them antibiotics طبعا drug of choice تختلف من فترة لفترة الأيام هاي drug of choice is erythromycin we have to give them corticosteroids to enhance lung maturity. طبعا just to call for كتب القديمة انه it's controversial subject to give them corticosteroids or not to give them corticosteroids لانه كانوا يخافوا انه to increase the risk of infection بس هلا it's not controversial subject. We have to give them corticosteroids. The controversial subject is the tocolytic agent. يعني سبوز مريضة عندها rupture membrane وجاي على 32 weeks وصار عندها uterine contractions. Can we suppress labor ولا we cannot suppress labor. هذا controversial subject. الكونسنسس الموجود انه you can suppress labor for 48 hours والaim of suppressing labor is to give corticosteroids هلا الكورتيكوستيرويدز حتى يشتغلوا بدهم 48 hours فyou can stop labor for 48 hours عشان نعطي dexamethasone يعني the aim of suppressing labor في مريضة عندها rupture membrane is only to give dexamethasone we suppress labor only for 48 hours طبعا برضو هذا الكلام المكتوب بالنسبة للجستيشنال ايج شوي تغير انه يعني معظم الكتب اللي بتقراوها هلا انه الكتوف جستيشنال ايج از 34 ويكس يعني less than 34 ويكس conservative management more than 34 ويكس delivery طبعا هذا الحكي تغير هلا في الجايد لاينز الجديد اللي طلعت انه you can wait up to 37 ويكس if the patient condition allow طبعا الكت اوف جستيشنال ايج هذا 34 ويكس يعني بطل احنا هون بالمستشفى بنخليهم على 36 ويكس نولدهم حتى لما كانت الجايد لاينز 34 ويكس كنا نخليهم ل 36 ويكس عشان فاسيلتيز اوف ذا ان اي سي يو از نوت جود فكنا نخليهم ل 36 ويكس بس هلا الجايد لاينز الجديده بتقول يو كان الاو ذيم اب تو 37 ويكس اف ذير از نو ايفيدنس طبعا اوف انفكشن هلا زي الاخر شغله حكينا طبعا اللي هي كيف مغنيسيوم سلفيت as a neuroprotective usually we give it between the every PTM paper يعني 24 weeks to 30 weeks if we have PTM paper between 24 to 30 weeks we have to give the magnesium sulfate as a neuroprotective. Is that a good suggestion?